Paul uses that idea. Matter of fact, he talks about it in 1 Corinthians. He talks about it in a couple of other places as the text kind of combines that. So thankful for those things. Acts chapter 15, if you would, please. Acts chapter 15. You may be thinking, oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Last week we started in Acts 15 to be introduced to Silas. You would be right. But we're going to look this week at Titus, and we'll see him there. I've titled the message tonight, Titus, a Pastor Too. And one of the reasons that I did that is I think Titus, though we have a book written about him, I think he's kind of one of those forgotten people in the New Testament. I think you're going to find that he was more significant in the New Testament than you realize. We're not going to dive into every detail of the book of Titus. That would take us a little while, okay? But we will touch on that just a little bit here and there. But I thought it was interesting. Nothing of Titus' origins or background we know about. We know nothing about him. Whereas, like Timothy, we know his dad was a Greek and his mom and grandma came to faith and they raised him from a newborn infant. And we know nothing about Titus. He apparently was converted by Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Though he may have already been in the city of Antioch and had been a Christian there, we're not sure about that. Someone else may have led him to Christ. Titus seems to be one of those longtime companions of Paul. And the reason that we believe that is because he is mentioned in Galatians. Galatians was one of the first books that the Apostle Paul wrote. It was at the beginning of his ministry. And then Titus is probably written towards the end of Paul's ministry, probably AD 66 or so, about the same time that 1 Timothy is written. So Titus is mentioned almost at the beginning of Paul's ministry, at the end of Paul's ministry, a lengthy ministry he would have carried on there with Paul. And so as we look at his life tonight, I want us to see that we must be faithful even in the long, even for the long haul and for the tough assignments. And we'll find that Titus was given a number of those. He had a long ministry, and he had some tough assignments that he was given in that. Number one, we are first introduced to him in Acts chapter number 15. Some believe that he was a part of the group that traveled with Paul for the Jerusalem Council. Again, Silas was one of those that was at the Jerusalem Council, part of the church at Jerusalem, and was sent to tell, hey, this is confirmation of what took place at the Jerusalem Council. Many believe that it was he that came, though his name is never mentioned in the book of Acts. When therefore, verse 2 of chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to apostles and elders about this question. And of course, that then unfolds the Jerusalem Council, in which they decide, no, Gentiles don't have to keep the law to be a part of God's kingdom. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1, says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So now we see that Titus is mentioned from this Acts chapter 15 aspect. And I went up by revelation and communication to them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of the reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. We'll come back to that verse a little bit later on tonight. And that because of false brethren under wales brought in, who came in privately despite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So several things that Paul says we think overlaps with this Jerusalem Council aspect. So we believe that Titus was a part of the group that traveled with Paul to that Jerusalem Council. Now, and if this is true, it appears to be the Gentile portion of the church trusted him greatly, and he must have also been comfortable around Jewish people. So he was able to interact with both of them because the council was in Jerusalem. He also will deal with the Jews on the island of Crete. We'll see that a little bit later on when Paul says, tell them of the concision. That would be the circumcision. Those who were trying to do that would be the Jewish people that's on the island of Crete trying to cause difficulties with Titus there. But number two, he was a Gentile. We learn that again in Acts chapter 2 verses, I'm sorry, Galatians. I keep going back to Acts. Galatians 2, 1 through 3. He says in verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, this is interesting. Put your thinking caps on a little bit. Remember earlier, Timothy also was not circumcised because his dad was a Greek, and yet Paul felt compelled to have Timothy circumcised. Okay, so why Timothy and not Titus as we work through this? And of course, Galatians is among the earliest letters, perhaps written AD 40s, early 40s. And so Titus mentioned in this epistle demonstrates that he was Paul's longtime co-worker. So you guys that have the mics, I want you to jump up here for a minute. We're not going to take real long with this, okay? But why circumcise Timothy and not Titus? Okay, why circumcise Timothy and not Titus? Someone, okay, Brother Steve's got his hand up.
Maybe because Timothy's mom was a Jew and okay. His dad wasn't.
Okay, Timothy's mom was a Jew. That would be part of it, I think. By the way, the Bible doesn't give us a clear answer on this, just in case you're wondering about why this took place. But I think it's an interesting discussion as we work through this. Okay? Okay, so was Timothy more ministering to Jews than Titus ministering primarily to Gentiles? We assume that, but we don't actually know what the percentage of breakdown is. If Titus had a long ministry, he certainly would have ministered more and more to Gentiles. The reason for that is because the church became more and more Gentile than it was Jewish at the beginning of those things. Good thoughts. Yes, Brother Dale?
Perhaps it's to show, if they were public about such things then, and it's for us as well, it shows that neither circumcision or not being circumcised is the issue.
Okay, and Paul is going to bring that up later, isn't he? It's not about circumcision or uncircumcision with that. So, yes, Brother Jim, you're right there.
It seems that Timothy he gets circumcised. It's more of tradition. He can reach more Jews. He's not making a big deal about it, but he's willing to do it.
Okay, and it could be. Do you think somebody was putting pressure on Paul to have Titus circumcised?
They may have.
It looks like it, doesn't it? It appears that that's the case. Now, we don't have a ton of time on this, but I think this is really, really good for us in application. Okay, this goes back to the discussion of could something be right for someone and not right for someone else? It could be. Okay, that's important for us too. Because you may be convinced that a certain action is absolutely right for you, and it may be right for you. But if you then try to force everybody to do what you believe is right for you, now you've got a problem. Okay? So we have to balance this through. And to me, this is an opinion. Okay, just so you know that. To me, it makes no other sense why God would point those two things out than to say, some can, some can't. And I can use both of them in the process of this all. And you're like, well, but I mean, you know, some were believing the circumcision had to do with their actual salvation. I understand that. Then why would Timothy not be eliminated by that? That's an interesting discussion. Like I said, we don't know for sure what it is, but I think it does tell us that sometimes God may lead someone to do this, and I believe God wants me to do this, versus someone else saying, well, I don't believe God wants me to do that. You know, so that's important for us to think through it, okay? Number three, he was one of Paul's sons in the faith. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We know that he ministered at the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you that same grace also. We're going to look at this in just a minute, this particular verse, in light of something else that takes place. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 18, I desire Titus, and with him I send a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? So Titus goes and handles what we've learned over these months, a difficult church situation in Corinth. I mean, it is a prickly situation for sure. And yet Titus is one of the ones that goes to deal with that. And he doesn't make a gain of the church at Corinth. And of course, that's going back to Paul's defense of what real ministry is about. Do we have people that we can invest in today? We do, don't we? And we should certainly be doing that. Number four, we see some things about his character. Now, his character is more implied than it is directly said in Scripture. One author said, Titus was one of Paul's very dear and trusted friends. The fact that he was chosen by the apostle to act as his delegate to Corinth to transact difficult and delicate work in the church there, and that he did this oftener than once, he was there more than one time, and did it thoroughly and successfully, shows that Titus was not merely a good but a most capable man. He was tactful and resourceful and skillful in the handling of men and affairs. It's a powerful statement about him. The fact that Paul would send him into the delicate situation that is Corinth, and he would do so multiple times to deal with that, is really interesting. We'll see when he gets to the Isle of Crete and what he does there. He's going to deal with a very difficult situation there too as he works through that. At one point, Paul calls him a partner. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. And our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches in the glory of Christ. The word partner here says one who takes part in something with someone, a companion, a sharer in it. Now that's really interesting when we learn what we do about the Apostle Paul and all the difficulties that he went through. It is more than likely that Titus also shared in those. We talked last week that Silas shared in a great deal of those, as well as these men do that. His fellow helper, we've talked about that word multiple times, to work together with or helping. He ministered to Paul on multiple occasions in a variety of ways. In the church at Corinth, he obviously ministered to him. His name occurs 8 times in the book of 2 Corinthians as he's ministering there in that church. He brings good news about the church at Corinth. So, remember, some believe there were 4 epistles written. I probably tend to believe there were 3. Some believe there were 2 visits by Paul. I tend to believe there were 3 visits by Paul, and one of them was not fun. I mean, Paul comes and lays the law down on them, okay? And he has some very tough things. But Paul is encouraged by Titus. Notice what he says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We just finished. We're close to this. We didn't finish this section. We're close to this. Lord willing, we'll get back to it. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So think back to the fact that Paul has been cast down but not discouraged. He's all those things. He said, when Titus came, I was encouraged by him. Notice what he says. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, and you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. He goes on talking about godly sorrow and repentance and so forth. Who brings him that word? Titus is the one that brings him that word. It's likely that Titus delivered a letter to them, a fairly scathing letter. Some believe that could have been 1 Corinthians. I believe it could very well be the letter that's lost to them. But either way, Titus comes back and says, Paul, you're not going to believe this. Boy, did these people repent. I mean, they just bowed down before you and said, we're wrong. And it was a godly sorrow that worketh to repentance. And Paul, man, how encouraged he must have been by that. Now, when you see all the words that he wrote there in those epistles. Paul entrusted Titus in a number of difficult missions while he was Paul's subordinate. Titus was given considerable discretion and delicate assignments and virtual autonomy in others. Okay, you go and deal with this how it needs to be dealt with. I think when you read the stories and you make some comparisons, so there's no direct quote about these things, but when you know about the church at Corinth, we've been in that for a couple of years now. We know from a New Testament standpoint, the church at Corinth was the carnal church out there. They dealt with more direct problems, and Paul had to give more scathing rebukes to them and so forth and so on, and yet he goes and helps them, and he delivers these letters, and he comes back to Paul and says, well, there's some great things happening in Corinth. I think you can find a couple things. These are my words. I think he was tenacious, faithful, diligent, delicate, able to move in different circumstances, thorough, among many other things, as you see him, as he could handle some of these aspects. As we think about this, think about his character and what can we learn from some of these things. And again, I want to be careful not to apply and say the scripture says he was tenacious or he was these things. But I think the indications are that's exactly what he was. And some of the difficulties that he went through, he was an amazing guy. Number five, he cared for people. He cared for people. He seems to be the one that started the collection in Corinth for the poor saints of Jerusalem. We compare two scriptures. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. For as much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So it appears that Titus was heavily involved in the offerings that were going to take up and pay, deal with the people that were suffering greatly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. So we see this deep care for the people. Now this is really important, okay? Follow me as I work through this, all right? It is difficult to be tenacious, to be forthright in your confrontation, to deal with problems in a very confrontational type of way, and be caring too. Just is. It's difficult to be that way. Can I tell you the one person that can help you do that? That'd be the Holy Spirit. He's the one that can give that perfect balance. But you can see this in Titus. I mean, he is one of these tenacious guys, and he's delivering a hard letter from the Apostle Paul. And can you imagine reading a letter like that that's scathing to this church? I mean, I don't know. I might have wanted to have handed the letter and run, right? Let them read it on their own. But no. He's there, and he watches the repentance, and he watches all those things unfold. And yet he has this deep care for them. Amazing. I love that. By the way, towards the end, Paul mentions him again, Titus 3 and verse 12. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I've determined there to winter. Paul says, I need you, Titus. You need to come to me. He says the same thing about Timothy. Here's why I said I'm a pastor too, why I think a lot of people overlook Titus. There are a lot of the characteristics that people praise about Timothy that we see in Titus. And it's amazing to me how he, there. You're like, well, I mean, Paul really loved Timothy. What makes you think that? Well, he called him his son in the faith. And I mean, at the end of his life, he wanted him to be with him. And he says the same thing about Titus. He's my son in the faith. And when I sense, I want you to come. I need you here with me. Pretty amazing. By the way, just like Timothy, we don't know if Titus ever made it to Paul. He may have, but we don't know for sure that he did. Can I say this to us? If we are faithful but uncaring, or if we're diligent while being uncaring, we will not minister to a lot of people. But we're just not going to minister to them. You're like, well, amen, I told them the truth. That's what they needed more than anything else. They might have needed your arm around them to love them, to tell them the truth. That instead of just... There are times when I needed a swift kick in the backside, but it was coming a lot better from someone who I knew dearly loved me than someone who had no clue who I was or whatever with that. I just think that's amazing about him as we think through these things. Number six, he was sent to minister in Dalmatia towards the end of Paul's life, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. We're very familiar with that part of the verse. Cretans to Galatia, Titus until Dalmatia. And again, we think through that and we think, what, that's just a little statement. What does that mean? It means that Titus is still faithfully serving the Lord. His mentor is in jail. And I mean, this is towards the end of Paul's life. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. This is the last book Paul will write. It is very close to his execution. And his preacher boys are still doing the work of God. It's pretty commendable of a man by the name of Titus. And then he was able to help the churches of Crete. And we get this from the book that's Titus, his name. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed these." And these were tough times. Paul writes it, okay, Titus, this is what I want you to do. I put you there so that you could set in order the things that are wanting. And there's a bunch of them wanting there in Crete. You're to establish pastors in these cities. You're to organize the church as it works. And by the way, you're dealing with a really hard people. Because he later says in verse 12 of Titus 1, "One of themselves," referring to the Cretans, "even a prophet of their own said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.' This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." Paul says, look, here's who they are. They're liars, they're evil beasts, they're slow bellies. This is all true. Rebuke them sharply. And this is what he says. And it's like, okay. "And do so in all the cities. I want you to set in order these things that are there." Again, a difficult job. But Titus apparently carries that ministry out. The book that bears his name is one of the pastoral epistles. It was probably written about the same time as the first epistle to Timothy. So somewhere around AD 66 or so, there's some debate about that. Both letters address pastoral qualifications. We find them there. Both letters explain how to run a church, if you will. There's practical things about how a church is to run. Both letters contain warnings to his preacher boys. Be careful about this. Be careful about this. Be careful about this. Watch this. Watch that as he writes these letters to them. I think it's interesting as we think through this, can we deal with a situation in a diplomatic way? He was to rebuke them. Did he walk in and say, "Hey guys, can I just tell you? Yeah, you're evil beasts, you're liars, and you're slow bellies, and I'm here to rebuke you." I'm not sure that would have gone over real well, but that's the job that he had in front of him. So he had to have some boldness about him to be able to accomplish these things for sure. Can we deal with a situation in a diplomatic way? So can we be faithful for the long haul? The long term, and Titus seems to be one of those guys. Can we be faithful through tough times? How much of the difficulties that Paul writes that he went through did Titus also experience? Did he suffer loneliness? It was interesting, missions conference. That idea kept coming up, didn't it? About our missionaries and the loneliness that they feel and all that kind of stuff. We don't hear of Titus having anybody with him on the island of Crete. He's just there. The loneliness that must have been there. And I think this is interesting as I reflected on his life and studied him. Sometimes we pay more attention to the men who are flashy and outspoken. Now listen, if God's made you flashy and outspoken, that doesn't mean you're wrong. God can use people like that if they'll submit themselves to him. But quiet, faithful men are a treasure as well. Just doing what God asked them to do. Just plowing away. They don't have to have recognition. They just are there, you know. I think it's interesting that we don't know much about him before or after. We don't know how his ministry ended. Did he die a martyr's death? We know that about Timothy. We don't know. There's some tradition that speaks about him and so forth, but he was just a faithful guy and a long, long haul faithful guy. And I love that about him. And we if you look through the book of Titus, you can learn more by assumption about what Paul was writing to him. But I've often thought, what would it have been like for Paul to say to him, "Hey, I'm going to leave you in Crete, and I'll write you a letter telling you what you need to do. In the meantime, just serve here." Then he gets a letter saying, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to ordain elders in every city. I want you to establish these churches, and I want you to do it among a people that are just hard people." Pretty amazing that he was a guy that's that way. Okay, we got about 2 minutes here. Any questions about his life or observations, something that you're like, wow, this is, be that. So Dale, yes?
You mentioned him having the quality of being delicate. Would you be
I would, because I think that care comes into that. And yet, sometimes when guys have that, they don't have the tenaciousness that needs to come. But it's pretty obvious the fact that he dealt with Corinth and the fact that he dealt with Crete both tell us that he had some backbone to him. I don't think he could have survived those. But yet he had the other aspects as well, because Paul specifically mentions the care that he had for people. So yes, I think that's a great observation there. Someone else with a comment or question about Titus? Yes, Brother Jason.
Just comparing, you know, rebuke them sharply with Paul's instruction to Timothy, and the servant of the Lord must not
strive.
Be gentle.
Yeah. Right.
What a contrast between those two.
Right.
And do you think that some of that had to do with the difference in maybe personality that in these two very different men?
Yeah, so the question basically centers on, he told Titus, rebuke them sharply. He told Timothy, the servant of the Lord must not strive. My personal opinion, and this is an opinion, I think it had more to do with the audience than it did the man. So I think it had to do with the church that he was dealing with there. I think the Cretans probably need a little more of that in-your-face type of deal with it specifically, whereas Timothy was dealing with churches like Ephesus and those kind versus Corinth and Crete. It's like, ooh, you know. So I think the timing and who they were dealing with. Now, I'm not saying it's an excuse to be unkind no matter what, but I think maybe there are some situations in which more of that direct approach to rebuke them sharply is accepted than someone else, if that makes sense. And most of you that have reared children know this. I had some children that I could discipline, and they looked at me like, drop dead, you're never going to break me. And then others, you just crossed your eyes at them, and they went, oh, I'm sorry, what did I do wrong? Anything, it's okay. You know, the approach was different with those kind of children as well, right? And that, I think that would be somewhat there as we work through. But that's a good observation, for sure, so. Well, good. I love the study. There's a lot we don't know about him, but I think there's some good things that we can draw from him in those things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the study of Titus. Lord, you preserved, there are more information we'd love to have on some of these men, but you preserved exactly what we needed in your word. And I'm so grateful for that. And help us, Lord, to use this to learn some things about you through it, through the process. And we love you. In your name we pray. All right, Lord bless. You are dismissed. No.